You're listening to the Wait, What If podcast. Be prepared to expand your mind and question your reality. As always, your host, Kevin Sullivan.
And that's the new opening. What do you think, Mike?
I like it. I think it's really awesome.
All right. Yeah, we're kind of troubleshooting it as we usually do on the fly here. Can everyone hear good? Are we all good? This is like the most people I've had at the table at one time. We have five
people.
That's a lot. Yeah, we'll go around the room and introduce everyone. So Mike, of course, is to my right hand here. Everyone knows him, Mr. Stojic. How are
Hello.
Things?
Good.
Yeah. Good. Well. Just came back from Vegas, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lost a good bit of money. That's all right.
So you didn't come out on top.
No.
What's great about this podcast is actually he told us about this trip that you were planning. Yeah. So we can actually live vicariously through you.
I won a little bit and then I lost it all. So I was up. I was up at one point.
How much?
About close to $600.
Wow. Pretty good.
And then it was all just...
I was in Vegas once, and I sat at the blackjack table, pissed everybody off, and made, I think I left $15 up, so that was kind of good.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a winner. Big winner. And to you is Mr. Tad, to your right, Mr. I don't know your last name, I just realized, Tad. Oh, he doesn't have a... So Tad is our guest's guest. Okay, just Tad. And then with us tonight is Miss Sherry Lassiter. This was part of my questions I was going to ask you, because we had a paranormal investigator on here, I don't know, a few months ago, and I was calling her a ghost hunter, but apparently I was using the improper vernacular. So what do I call you? Is it a psychic, a medium, a...
We'll just go with psychic medium.
Okay, a psychic medium. And she's going to talk to us about what that means, what she does, hopefully give us some interesting stories, and maybe do some readings here, because to her right is Cara Sullivan, my lovely wife and baker of the Wait What If podcast. Say hello, Cara.
Hello. Good to be here.
How are you today?
I'm doing very well. This is my first time on the podcast, so mm-hmm. I'm very excited.
Cara's very nervous about this, but you used to be a school principal, so you should be comfortable about talking in front of people.
I should be, but I can talk in front of little kids. Just
Well, this is pretty much like that. It's not going to be much different. Cara actually came up with the idea of this podcast. We were sitting at dinner, a couple nights ago, and... I was saying we should do something. I put out a thing on Facebook for the neighbors, and I said, hey, anyone have any interesting ghost stories or something? Let's work on something for Halloween. And Cara said, you should try to find a psychic that can go on. And as we're sitting at the table, I just Google Raleigh psychics, and here's the first name that came up. I'm like, oh, here's one. Let's see what happens. And I sent you a note. I think I heard back from you, 10 minutes later? It wasn't very long.
Yeah, I really make a point to answer emails right away. If I don't, I forget about them. And days go by.
Okay, yeah. That's the way it is, I guess.
But a lack of organization makes me really look like I'm just on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, that worked out really good. So, Cara, this is your podcast. We're just in your wheelhouse. And then, of course, next to Cara is Bobby, what's your middle hyphenated? Moses Mincer. No.
Just Bobby.
Manning Mincer. Mm-hmm. And then on the couch we have, and then Bobby's husband you might remember from way back in the show, Mr. IT himself, Moses Mincer, who I was calling Mitzner for the longest time. And then Malia's back on the couch, and I think she's making faces at us. Say hi, Malia.
Hi, Malia.
Okay, so... Where do we even get started? Does anyone, before is there any questions, any burning questions you want to ask Sherry before we kind of go through this? Whoa.
That's me.
That?
Right. I get a weird, are your headphones echoey?
Yeah, I do get a funny sound to it.
I don't know if it was just mine because they're different.
Like, when you say echoey, what do you mean?
It sounds like we're all in a big tunnel. Here, mm-hmm. I'll trade you.
That.
Testing that, 1, 2. No, that's
is that like yours?
Yeah. It's because we have so many mics on here.
Situations hooked up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that's the beauty of the Wait What If podcast. We actually just do it on the fly and edit out the bad parts afterwards, which Malia determined is just me editing out her.
Didn't you say that last time?
No.
All right. I don't like her sitting behind me. It kind of has me a little freaked out. I feel like there's someone.
I'm watching.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So, Sherry, tell us a little about yourself, your bio, where you're from. Let's start from the very beginning.
I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina.
All right, you're
right
local.
Here. Okay. Yeah, I'm from the Lassiter family, Lassiter Mill Road. Family's been here for hundreds of years.
Okay. If you want to adjust a mic and make it more comfortable, you can absolutely do that, too. You just kind of move it around until...
Okay.
Just so you don't have to.
Yeah, leave. I've been here for hundreds of years. No, not me, literally, but the family. Mm-hmm. So, got a long history in the area. Didn't move away to Asheville for a while, and as much as I loved it, it was just too cold and too far from home.
So yeah,
I came back, and I actually am a musician, singer, songwriter, and that was my dream.
Okay.
So I went from being the artist, musician, and that was my dream, my passion, to having people come to me for readings. And then I got offered a position at Dancing Moon Bookstore, which is the metaphysical bookstore in Raleigh. And it was like in the early 90s, and this was all like witchy stuff, and everybody was kind of scared of it.
Sure.
So we kind of planted some seeds early on in the community to help people get more used to the idea of these things. And then I got to become more really well known due to that position that I was in and the support that I had. So since then, despite my attempts to be a creative artist, this has really been a path that's really pulled me.
Okay.
And been a calling for the past 20 years.
Okay. I clicked on some of your links for the music, and it sounded that you had a little bit of Celtic sound to it. Is this? Do you have an Irish background? Is Lassiter Irish, or is that?
No, it's not. But I have a Welsh, very Celtic, Welsh, English, Scottish.
Okay.
Some Irish, some French, some Mediterranean. Very, very Celtic. Due to being a musician, I'm also very clairaudient. Mm-hmm. So the way that I receive information psychically is I hear it. More than I see it. I'll see things, but I receive the information more on a clairaudient. And clairaudient is hearing mm-hmm. on a psychic level. Clairvoyant is seeing on a psychic level. Clairsentient is feeling. So it comes in different ways. And so that's my primary is clairvoyant.
Okay.
So I'm hearing things like it's not... It's a voice inside my head, like sort of like it sounds like I'm a crazy person, but it's not. It's more like a downloading of files. Then I have to sit and interpret the files and give the information to the person. And sometimes I'm shown pictures and I'm given numbers,
mm-hmm.
Given names, okay. things of that nature. But it's much more like just attuning to the inner voice and listening to that.
Okay. When was the first time you noticed that you had something like that going on?
Childhood. Talking to spirits on the other side, being talked to from spirits on the other side. I'm like, oh, this is what everybody does. It was like all the stories you hear people say, it was just the way it was. I thought it was normal.
Did you understand it? Did you at first?
I started to get a little freaky at age 13, 14. When you're coming into your womanhood, mm-hmm. for me, you've got those hormones raging, and that makes a person more psychic. It accelerates everything. And at that time, my mother, even though we were, quote, Episcopalian, she had this deep interest in the occult. And so she had Seth Roberts books around. She had Edgar Casey. She had Ruth Montgomery. She had a lot of books that showed her interest in a hidden way. And then I would read them. And I would be like reading them at age 13, and I would start to have these weird experiences. But I think it helped open me up really fast.
Yeah.
And take what was already there genetically and otherwise and from past lives, so to speak, and really grow on that. So it just kind of pushed me forward. And I learned a lot about numerology and astrology and all the different occult arts, so to speak, that I can add into my work so that I can access people's information really quickly. It's like downloading files when they tell me their birthday. It's like,
Okay.
And then it lights up.
Do you think, I come from a very, very Irish background. I'm half Italian, but my whole family, they shunned off that side, and they're very, very old school Irish. And they're very, what's that word I'm looking for? Superstitious. They're very, what's that? Oh, Tad holds up a bottle of Jameson, absolutely, as I'm drinking some fine bourbon here. But they're very much into spirits and things. You said genetically. Do you think there's a genetic draw to that Celtic thing with fairies? I'm sure if you've heard of fairies in Ireland and
oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
My email address is Sherry Fairy.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So I've always been accused of being a fairy. I'm like, I'm not a fairy.
Because people don't understand fairies.
I'm a human.
Fairies in Ireland is kind of those are scary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, anything that we're afraid of or that has power or that we attune to having power, we're afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we give or that we assign power to, we're either going to want to like bleed it or suck it up like a parasite, or we're going to be afraid of it.
Okay.
So, but speaking of to the answer to your question, when I say genetic,
mm-hmm.
I just believe that in my family line, at least, that's been passed down. Like
okay.
this availability to extrasensory perception,
mm-hmm.
and an interest in it.
It's interesting how you say that, because there's studies out there about they follow, keep from chuckling here, but they follow a bird called the purple tit, and it's from Britain, Great Britain, and they were watching how this bird could break into a milk bottle. They put out these new milk bottles, and this is, I want to say, maybe the 90s, and in Great Britain, they still deliver the milk, apparently. And this bird figured out how to tap into the top and suck out the cream. So people kept going outside, they found holes in the tops of their milk bottles, and the cream was gone. And very quickly, it spread across Europe faster than they figured the birds could actually make it. So they don't know why that is, and they're wondering if there's some sort of genetic telepathy. This is fringe science, of course, but that these birds were able to communicate what they were doing across generations, or really across great distances.
Yeah, there's that hive mentality,
mm-hmm.
where one knows it, then all knows it.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little genetic, I guess, component there. And of course, I pull that into it because I'm a scientist. I think I told you this in the email, and I always try to...
What kind of scientist are you?
Well, I'm a physician assistant, so everything I do during the day is based on science. You know, there is the human aspect. I talk to people, I interview people. In fact, mm-hmm. when I make a diagnosis, maybe 90% of the time, it's just for me interviewing them. But I always go back to the science to say, okay, this is what I'm thinking from talking with you. Let's see if I can solidify that. So I come up with a hypothesis, I run some tests, and then I come up with my answer, at least my best guess at the time. So, and I hadn't always been like that. You know, I guess, I don't know what made me switch over to kind of the more concrete
just
type of
person. Just your natural curiosity.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a physician's assistant / doctor, you're curious, you want to grow, you want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that has a tendency to want to grow and learn is going to really push the envelope and grab onto the unknown or information they can't put their finger on in order to grow and learn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some people have that desire. Some people don't want to grow and learn. And I'm saying that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
They just rather just sit in front of the TV and veg out and just get on with life.
Do you deal a lot with skeptics in what you do? I mean, I imagine you do, because it's just natural for someone to be skeptic with that. But do you do readings for skeptics? Do you have anything mm-hmm. as far?
They'll say they're skeptics in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
but I'll have to say that rather than say, oh yeah, I'll convince skeptics, that would be useless.
Right.
I mean, I could be lying.
Right.
But I have had and do have. I have a Harvard doctor is a very constant client. I've had politicians, doctors, professors, ministers,
mm-hmm.
and reverends.
Okay.
And people of different occupations and walks of life that you would never think would be into this. But and some of them will say, well, I don't really believe this, but what do you see for me? That's a classic. Yeah. But it's true.
Yeah. That's funny. So what do you see from it? I'm just kidding. Mike, you're...
believing what it's about. What it's about them.
Yeah, okay.
And they'll even ask me, they'll ask me questions about their physical, like, what's wrong with me? I've been to the doctors, I don't know what's wrong. Tell me what's wrong with me physically. Mm-hmm. Tell me how to fix my political problems, my mental health, not their mental health problems, but their lawyer problems. I mean, you need a lawyer, you need a private investigator, you need a doctor, you don't need me.
Yeah.
But they've fallen out of trust and money when it comes to addressing other professions to get the information. So they come to me, not like a last-ditch effort, but somebody that is like, oh, well, maybe you can get me the answers I'm not getting or can't afford to get.
Sure, yeah. Hmm.
So I can actually tune into a person and not really see the physical anatomy, but feel like an obstruction, or my attention will go to their feet, mm-hmm. or to the back of their neck. It's like hot energy or light will come across them. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a yoga teacher. I teach high yoga, so that means I know a little bit about the body. I'm a little bit grounded into that, not much, mm-hmm. but enough that too much information would be to my it wouldn't be a good thing. So just enough information, just enough understanding about chakras, then I can see things in the physical way, in a okay. medical way. But of course, I always say I'm not a doctor or a private investigator or a lawyer or a child psychologist.
Or a therapist. Do you need insurance for doing what you do? No malpractice. It's a good thing.
You just need PayPal.
Yeah, well, there you go. PayPal's fantastic. I love PayPal. That's how I bought my scooter. I bought a new scooter. It looks
with
like
PayPal.
With PayPal. It looks like a little mini Harley.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I just cool. drove it. That's why he's got a eating grin on him right now.
Yeah, riding up and down the street. It's so much fun.
I feel like a 12-year-old when I'm on it.
The point.
Yeah, I guess I think you're right.
Time of freedom. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should say I painted it green and I put two military stars on the side, so it looks like an old military bike. Yeah. And look how Kara's smiling over this. She's very excited about it.
It scares our son.
No, he's starting to like it.
Yeah.
He loves it. You should hear Mike's Harleys. That would scare him.
Those things probably scare him a little more.
We're like, the kids just go down to bed and I hear like in the background. I'm like, oh no, you gotta be kidding me. And then up the road. Like, all right, Mike, we know you have a motorcycle.
I don't know, it's fun.
Let me go back because I wanted to touch on a few things. So we went into when you were a kid, it kind of came up. You didn't really know what was going on, and you're 13, 14, you started figuring this out. How about through high school? Did your friends know something like this was going on? Did it stigmatize
you? It wasn't a focus whatsoever during that time. All my focus was on my creative expression, on my music. It was just music. It was theater. It was arts. And that's what it was for quite a while after that. And despite my intentions and desires, it's like life had this other plan and just kept nudging me.
Okay.
And if I didn't get the nudge, then it would throw me. It was very clear mm-hmm. that this was the path. Which a lot of my the music that I've played and written has really fed into more of a healing aspect of music, more of the mystical, ethereal music. So, you know, even when I was playing music, I was still tapping into that, the psychic part of me, which comes from the right brain.
Okay.
You know, where creativity comes from, where intuition comes from, where psychic phenomenon, so to speak, comes from. The right brain, as you know, the right brain is ruled by the left hand, and I'm left-handed.
Okay.
So I'm naturally more inclined to be in my right brain.
Okay. From there, so I don't want you to give away your age here, but
please what, make. What,
let's just say this was in the 80s to 90s.
That what happened?
That you were in high school, 80s, 90s.
Yeah, it was the 90s.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go.
No,
see?
I'm kidding. Oh. It was way before that.
Well, I would know. Because you had brought up at the very beginning, you said in the 90s, witch stuff was kind of taboo. You don't want to go near it. And I had just watched.
That was when I was at. I'm just clarifying.
Sure.
When I was at Dancing Moon, and mm-hmm. it was this metaphysical store, and it was bringing metaphysics and spiritual, New Age stuff to the area.
Okay.
That's when I noticed the discomfort of the people.
Okay.
Especially in this area, it was called the Bible Belt for so long.
Sure.
Prior to that, it was sort of not really an issue.
Okay. Do you, and if it's private, by all means, keep it to yourself, but do you have a religious affiliation, or are you Wicca, or are you, what's...
I was Wiccan for a while. I did study that. I explored mm-hmm. it. I was a high priestess. I did lectures. I did classes. I did all that. And then it, I think I just got the understanding that I needed to get, and then I just wanted to continue to move, because I don't want a religion. I just want a spiritual growth and expansion, and I just don't want to, like, so I wouldn't say that I'm Wicca, though a lot of people in the community want to keep saying that because of my history and my background, but I don't cast spells. I never did. I understand that that's karmic, and but I did do things that would help me and others to honor the planets, the cycles of the moon, the earth. And also in that exploration, it helped me to tap into these psychic forces that would come to me in the form of what we would call gods and goddesses, and they would communicate with me. And so it was a way for me to tap into these deities or gods and goddesses that would teach me things. And then I would learn from it, and then I would get attached to, say, let's say, Brigitte, goddess Brigitte of Ireland. I want to get attached to her, and then I think she's my goddess. And then next thing you know, somebody else comes in, and then they're teaching me another lesson. We're here to teach you about power, proper use of power. We're here to do this and that. So Isis, for example. And then with each of these deities that would come in, or energies, frequencies that I would tap into, I would learn so much just from tapping into that frequency, or learn about the Egyptian culture. I would learn about the Greek culture. I would learn about not just their culture, but their teachings, their past, their history. And so it was a way to tap into these the Akashic records, the files, through these deities or entities. And now it's not through deities and deities of gods and goddesses, but it's also like extraterrestrial, interdimensional teachers that I have now.
Have you ever heard of DMT?
Yeah,
Have you ever experienced it? Anahuasca or ayahuasca or anything like that?
You know, I would say that I want to, but don't want to.
Right.
I don't want to. And from the experiences that I've had, that people have had that have told me about, every time they do it, it's all about, like, how pure can you get, mm-hmm. and how much can you purify yourself, so that when you face the source or God or the creator, that you can handle it.
Right.
And prior to that, if you're not pure or clear or cleansed of just, you know, negativity and heaviness, then they say that the light scares you, that it's just too much.
So for the listeners and for everyone here, DMT is dimethyltryptophan, or dimethyltryptophan. It's a compound that I want to say the Mayans or somebody.
It's South American.
South American. Mayan. They figured out how to take it out of certain plants, and it's a process to get it out of the plant. And when people take it, I think they drink it, or I think that's what they do.
They drink it, yeah.
Okay.
And then they throw up a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's not very pleasant. It's not a pleasant experience, which is kind of odd, because people automatically say, all right, it's a psychedelic drug, and people are just going out getting high on it. But people don't do this for a high. It's more of a spiritual journey.
Yeah, to get closer to source.
And the weird thing about it is, people who take this drug all have a similar experience. They see geometric shapes. They talk about speaking with someone or something and being guided, and they go through these long journeys, and they come back like 10 minutes later. But to them, there's no sense of time, and there's no sense of, so it's a very quick, short-lived thing. And it's been shown to cure cure, I guess, people with addiction problems, people with, it's a really fascinating drug. What's his name? Joe Rogan has a special on Netflix. I think it's on there. It's called The Spirit Molecule.
Okay.
Molecule.
There's a book too, isn't it?
Oh, called The Spirit Molecule. Yeah, probably by McKenna, Terrence McKenna.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they were all into exploring it and figuring out what was going on there. But when you said extraterrestrial, tapping into that, it made me think of that, because people think that maybe, because everyone has their opinions on how we're here and why we're here and all that, but there's this whole theory that whatever put us here gave us this molecule that is everywhere. It's even in our brains, apparently. It just isn't active or something. It left us here that would give us answers and help us almost phone home or figure out what's going on. So I thought it was kind
of... Right, and it helps to access beyond this dimension, this 3D, third-dimensional existence. There's more to life than that, more to existence. And by tapping into various drugs or sources that help us to connect outside our restricted matrix that we're in 3D, then that's very helpful. Marijuana is helpful. It can be certain different drugs that I've experimented with in my time alive. I found that I've had some very powerful experiences that have taught me things about other realities. And
bourbon.
Bourbon's one of them. Thank you,
spirit
Tad,
juice.
Tad's input.
Nothing wrong with bourbon.
It's fantastic. That's been, now that I have kids and everything, that's my spirit molecule. Literally.
Yeah, you can't afford to have any other spirit. Tad's soon to be a guest on the show with the bourbon.
That's right.
Just one word.
That's funny.
I told him this show is going to be about me. He can't run his mouth the whole time like he always does.
She did. She told me that, so I didn't give you a mic.
He's a talker.
That's funny. So... Now I lost my train of thought.
I don't know.
We're talking about spirit molecule bourbon.
Alternative methods of connecting with source.
Sure, and I think I remember what I was going to get at. So, and I mentioned this in my email to you too. We all experience life in the three dimensions. And I liked how you said that, because we experience it the only way we can experience, at least the majority of us can, and that's with our perception of reality. Nothing is more apparent to this than when you see someone with traumatic brain injury or brain damage who is completely not checked into reality, and you realize how, hey, important it is. It's all your senses telling you what's going on. When we talk about... at the submolecular level of things. So now I'm going back into science, but it's still kind of woo-woo weird stuff. When you get to the atom and you split the atom down to your protons, neutrons, electrons, and then you look at what makes up those particles, they're called quarks, and I can't remember all the different parts, but...
Fractal.
They're these little things. They behave in ways that scientists can't predict and don't understand. And we can look at it now that, I mean, people didn't understand how Earth went around the sun. And maybe that's where we are now with that. But they're seeing properties of these where we can't really tell where they are because they come in and out of existence. They communicate with each other. This is quantum physics, really, in faster than the speed of light. They do stuff that we just don't understand. And it's almost like peeking behind the curtain. We're seeing a little bit of what is actually beyond our
doing at the CERN Collider?
Yeah, that's exactly
the Hadron
right.
Collider?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially now, there's a lot going around and about what they're doing there, but they're trying to open a doorway to the fourth dimension.
Yeah, they're basically
time travel.
They're basically there's the majority of the universe is made up of what's called dark energy and dark matter. The majority, and we don't know what it is. We don't know why it's there. We don't even know why gravity's there, but we think it all has something some connection. And the reason why I bring this up is, so yes, I'm kind of a brick and mortar scientist type of person. I like the physical, but I do understand and accept that there are parts of us and our existence that we just can't explain. And it, you know, there is some proof out there that things are spooky, things don't make sense. And whether it is that you're tapping into that, and you just know how to tap into that. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. Well, you think about like dark matter in the universe, and we don't know what it is. But it's like the DNA. It's called junk DNA. Is it really junk DNA, or is it just what we don't understand and can't access?
These are the DNA sections that we don't use. They don't have a purpose.
So we're led to believe.
Yeah.
But they're to me, it's just like this computer that you don't have access to. You could tell I'm trying to speak as technical as possible for you people that get that stuff. Is to be able to access the Akashic Records, access information from other parts of the universe. Mm-hmm. And it's in our DNA, and if we can access it, then that's where we can get more psychic power, more past life information, more abilities to perceive things beyond the 3D.
Do you think everyone has this ability, or do you think really?
Absolutely.
100%? Everyone?
Absolutely. Hmm. Apparently, I've done this in other existences or other dimensions or lifetimes. It doesn't matter what you call it. And it's just that's a focus for me this time. It's also what I've done so much that I brought back already awakened memories and gifts that are already kicked in. But everybody can do it and probably put me out of a job once the human race gets more evolved.
So what do you mean by all like these memories? Like
cellular memories? Did you say what?
No, what do you mean by these memories? Like physical memories of things that have happened? Or explain them.
Past lives,
yeah.
How would I explain access to information about past lives?
Yeah, because this would almost be like explaining a color to a blind person, because I have no concept of what's going on there. But
that's why I kind of halted. How would you explain past lives? You know, I'm going to put it real simply, that it isn't so much about the past life itself, and you were a peasant in India in 500 years ago, but what the feelings and the imprints are and the charges, emotional charges, and things that are unclear that you brought with you from that time. And so you leave a life and you have unfinished business, and then you come back into a physical body and you try to work out this or finish the business. So what really is important is what comes through that is information to help the person at this time about what their blocks are, where they can't move forward, what they can't see, where they're wounded, where they need some clarity or awareness so that they can move past it. And only in that way does past life information really become powerful, useful, or relevant. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think it's just entertainment.
Okay.
So I don't think
people are reborn.
Oh yes. Well, you're right. You have to have a sense of people come back into a physical body. And it's called reincarnation. Mm-hmm. You have to have some sort of a belief system that people come back into a body in order to finish or clear or resolve or heal and basically balance things out for themselves. You come from another life, you left something out of balance, you got to come back in and balance it here in the realm that you imbalanced it in the first place.
Okay.
And if you try to fix it over there, it's not the same. It's like reading a book about anatomy and thinking you understand it, but then having to go and tear up a body and mm-hmm. pick out pieces would be
really yeah, you're exactly to right. understand. Sure. Yeah. We dissect in PA school, and the whole idea there is if I'm going to tell someone their liver is damaged, I like to think my patients like to think that I've held a liver in my hand and I know what it looks like and what it does.
Yeah. So that's real human experience mm-hmm. as opposed to on the spirit side, just learning all the ideals, mm-hmm. but coming in here and fleshing them out.
Okay.
And then in that way, the soul grows. So the soul comes in to grow, and you've got like a review up there, and you have a board or council, so to speak. And they say, all right, this is what you need to work on. This is what you kind of like, yeah, you could have done better over there. And you got some unfinished business over here. And why don't you come back in? We'll pick the circumstances, or you pick the circumstances in which you'll be born, to the parents, to the situation, and come up to the same circumstances you found yourself in before. And see how you deal with it that time. See if you can fix it, heal it, clear it, balance it. And in that way, the soul can move forward and grow.
What are our spirits? Are they've just never been reborn? Are they
spirits in the way of, you mean ghosts?
Yeah.
Do you mean ghosts?
Yeah, I guess. Do you believe in ghosts?
Well, I've worked with a lot of them, and what I find, what I would like to say, is that you know what, an echo. Mm-hmm. When a ghost comes back and shows itself, it's like an echo of that person. It isn't the person in their entirety coming back and haunting someone. It's like an echo from the person that left that is throwing their energy, like when you're in a canyon and you throw your voice. Mm-hmm. It's sort of throwing of energy so they're only partially there. They haven't like taken their whole being or their whole spirit and put themselves back in a house.
So it's not conscious or conscious. It doesn't know it's there.
No, not so much.
Okay.
It's just a throwing of an echo out there because that soul can't let go of that particular trauma that mm-hmm. it experienced. I went through someone goes through a trauma, they tend to like relive it over and over and over again. And the part of them that's stuck in that trauma, sort of like PTSD, would relive that experience over and over and over again, like someone that has the psychological disorder of PTSD. Then they keep reliving that experience, and that's the same thing that a spirit or a ghost would do. They just tend to project a part of their consciousness to where they couldn't, where they were traumatized or where something got stuck, mm-hmm. and just kind of repeat it over and over and over again.
Do spirits communicate with you? Can you?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, let's say you're here in this room with me talking. If someone might, you might hear someone talking, you might.
No.
There's no spirits.
Okay. Well, I mean, because I think what we think of when we.
No spirits here.
Okay, that's good.
It's just us.
What we think of, or at least what I think of when I first think of this, is like John Edwards, you know?
No. I told him on the way over, I'm like, I'm not John Edwards. I'm not going to say. Is there anybody have an Uncle Bob?
That's funny. Well, that's what people, I mean, mainstream media. I mean, not mainstream, but, you know, it's popular culture. Yeah. So that's what people automatically assume.
But she can bring spirits.
Well, let's keep them out.
And then I can clear, like, what you're doing when you're going in. What you're going into a place.
I know.
The Jameson bottle got moved.
Tad's bottle got moved.
Theater of the mind.
So. What was the question, Tad?
You can move spirits.
Well, he said you can bring them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this. When I'm doing a reading for someone, and they want me to talk to someone on the other side, I really ask, like, who do you want to talk to? Who is it you want to talk to? Then I kind of invite them in if they want to come or they don't want to come.
Okay.
At times they'll go, why are you bothering me? Mm-hmm. And at times they will be very shy. I don't know. You're a psychic. I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. And so they will, if it's not them and they're not available to communicate for whatever reason, they're in some sort of a healing place or resting place, then the spirit guides associated with them will come in and give messages to me to deliver to a person.
Okay.
But I don't do, there's an Uncle Bob, you know, I think that's more commercialism.
Yeah.
And I've done the TV shows, I've done the Dead Files. And doing that, they were very, very respectful of me mm-hmm. when I was recording the show and I was going in to clear a haunted house. And so I went into a meditation. They let me go into a space and I talked to the spirits and I came back and I told them what they said. They said, well, it doesn't really fit into the show. You know, it doesn't fit into the show. You're going to have to just like narrow it down to this particular character that is already a part of the show. Well, that's not what I'm getting. Well, I'm sorry, you can't talk about that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot done in television that is exactly like just a reality show. It's a television show. You clear the spirits. Well, we didn't get that. Well, you do it from another angle. Clear the spirits. Well, already did. Well, just pretend like you're doing it again. So there's a lot of commercialism and within an entertainment value to those shows. So I don't think... that a lot of the shows that do that are actually, a lot of it is entertainment. I just want to let people know that it's not really the way it's really done.
Sure, I understand that. I guess it's not supposed to be entertainment, but what is I'm gonna bring Mike in here for a second because I had some questions for him. But I tend to lose my train of thought, so I write all these kind of cryptic notes that only make sense to me. Oh, yeah. What I wanted to ask you about is I love documentaries, and I just watched Paradise Lost, and I had, again, written this about your, when you worked at the bookstore. Have you seen Paradise Lost at all?
Mm-mm.
So it was, it was the late 80s, early 90s, where, people were listening to more heavy metal, and they thought death rock, and people got frightened of kids who had black hair and wore combat boots and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Gothic, yeah.
And there was a murder in Memphis, West Memphis, and it was a gruesome, brutal murder, which I won't get into detail. If you want to watch the movie, I would definitely say check it out. But what happened was the kid was, into the occult, and they had found a notebook where he had pentagrams and this and that. And it was kid stuff, or not kid stuff, but that 16, 17-year-old raging against the machine sort of just jibber jabber on the book. But they saw that and they said, well, we think that this murder scene is occult related. And then they went after him. They went after, and these kids went to death row.
Since the story's familiar.
Yeah.
They have heard the story.
And they ended up being, I don't want to say they were found innocent, but you have to watch it. I mean, they ended up getting released from prison.
A lot of people jump to conclusions, don't they?
Right, right. Have you ever dealt with anything like that? Have people heard anything about you, especially in the Bible Belt, and been aggressive towards you? Or
oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I did back in like early 90s or so. One of the broadcast journalists, a newsman. Did a story on me. It was around Halloween. No, actually, it was around February Sweeps Week, which really was pretty bad because they interviewed me and they said things like, are you a witch? And I'm like, no, I'm not a witch. I'm a witch, yeah, but I don't cast spells. And so when they aired it, it was Sherry Luster, witch, underneath it. And then they edited it out. Yeah. And they put pentagrams upside down and they started running it over and over and over again. And I couldn't leave the house for like two, three weeks. You're the witch on TV.
Oh.
So it's like pretty, experiences like that are not fun.
Sure. Yeah. So what I was going to bring Mike into here was, tell Sherry about your experience back in New Orleans.
I don't want to do too much because what if I get in, I did it again.
Ah, God.
I don't know because I want to, maybe we get an opportunity to do a reading here, so I don't want to say
okay.
Too much. Well,
okay.
if you tell me the situation,
Well, no, I'm
okay, maybe you know what we'll do right now? We'll take a quick little break,
all
and
right.
I'll show no, I didn't put it in here. Darn it. I had that British woman. She goes by Kimmy Pop. You can get it. There's this website, and I don't want to give them a free plug, but I guess I kind of will. It's called Fiverr.com, and I went on there, and I found this British girl, and she's the one that does the whole intro and all that, and it's $5. That's what Fiverr means, so they'll do anything. You know, you find people that have do voiceovers and all that, and I had one where she said the... Your guests are doing having a potty break, and I put music in there.
Let's hear it.
But I didn't download it on my little board here because I forgot to.
Anything you want to, yo, we can do anything you want to. Anything you want to, yeah, we can do anything you want to. Hey, we can have love if you want to. We can share dreams if you want to. We can make peace if we want to, and we can make beats if we want to. We can have love if you want to. Share dreams if we want to. We can make peace if we want to. And we can make beats if we want to.
Wait What If has a new website. It's waitwhatif.com. Mike, do you have a chance to check it out today? That was your homework.
It was. Remember when I told you I didn't? Are you purposefully putting me on the spot?
Yes, I am. No, I completely forgot, actually.
I'm going to do it. I've been out of town a lot recently.
Well, it's live. At this exact moment, well, actually, it isn't because this will probably come out on Friday. So, but yeah, waitwhatif.com. Check that out. We actually have a number, 559-7-WHAT-IF. 559-7-WHAT-IF. There's enough.
There should be.
WHATIF 7-WHAT-IF. I got on it on Google Voice. And yeah, if you want to call, just give us a call. What I'm trying to do, this is the expansion of the Wait What If show. We started off small and we're starting to expand. I have my battle plan out there. We're getting the website, which is waitwhatif.com. We have the number, of course, my email that everyone knows, and the Facebook. But I'm trying to make a push at this point. I'm going to try to learn how to do live streaming. And then what I like about the idea of live streaming is we can just... I'll hook up a camera wherever. We'll live stream the show, and then there's no editing because it's live, and you just record what you have and then put that out there. And hopefully I'll have some neighbors call the show. Wouldn't that be great? I'll let them know what time they can call, and then we can work from there.
Yep.
Hey, everyone starts small, and you grow from there. So we can have you back and have like the Psychic Sherry show, and then you can
have people call in. And yeah. It's on the air. I've done that a lot.
That'd be fun. So yeah,
I even did one time. I went to a radio show and I brought in a dozen donuts, and then I had like the host of the show and the radio jockeys like pick a donut, did a reading for them based on their donut that they.
That's awesome.
How is that even possible? Like, what did you do?
It turned out it was very tongue in cheek.
Oh, okay. You eat the jelly donut. I see horror in your future.
You may have a hard shell, but you're really, really soft.
Gooey. And sweet. So, Mike, give us your plug. You got a new show.
New episode? I did. I finally got around to finishing it. It took me about a month to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Irish Crack.
All right.
Being the Gaelic word for good times. But, yeah, that's the Make It a Double podcast where we talk booze, spirits, history, mixology, and... people and stories that make it great.
He's got it so memorized.
I do.
You sit there in the toilet, don't you? And you're like,
I do. I just rehearse. I just stare at myself in the mirror and I'm like, bang it out all the time. But it's fun. It was actually probably the most fun I've ever had.
It was an Irish pub episode. Of course it was the most fun
I've
ever had.
Yeah, we were in an Irish pub drinking Guinness and chatting. And then I went and met an Irish musician and we sat around and chatted and drank a
bunch
of
whiskey. In Ireland?
No. But that's the future. Hopefully I'll get a chance to fly out there and do that. That was here.
So which pub?
Which one?
Tiernanogue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my favorite.
Annie Nice. I talked to Annie Nice. She's one of the managers there. She's really awesome.
She's a friend of mine. I've done readings
really?
There. Performed there as a musician.
No kidding.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
A long, long relationship.
She's really great. Precious. Yeah, she's on the third episode.
I'm sure she is. Track.
Yeah, that'd she's really fun. And then James Oden, he was the musician, Irish Celtic type musician. And we had some of his music and he talked about his experiences of...
Very
in Ireland. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. Then we drank a bunch of whiskey at his house. I went to his house to do the interview. it was really good. So I had a lot of fun.
You're so racist.
Why was that racist?
Because we are a proud people. Okay,
yeah,
we're not. I know. Just I'm messing with you.
Annie doesn't drink.
Oh wow.
The episode, you know. She actually says she doesn't drink.
I haven't got there yet, to be honest with you. I haven't listened to the episode. We listened to the other ones, didn't we, Car? We were driving, listening to the episode.
Yeah, there's only two others.
That's right. Where were we? We were down in South Carolina listening to those.
Myrtle Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
They were really good.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. All right. Great. Move on. So, Sherry, go ahead. Tell us, you know, how people can get in touch with you.
Okay. Sherry is spelled Cherie, like Cherie. My last name's Lassiter, Lassiter, SherryLassiter.net. And that takes you directly to the website.
Okay.
And I think you found me just putting in searching for psychic mediums in Raleigh, but to go directly to the website, SherryLassiter.net.
Okay. Did you ever do anything up in Boston?
No.
Okay, maybe it was someone else that came up. When I was researching it, I found a name, and it kept pointing to Boston, but it also said Raleigh, and I didn't know if you had moved or so. Maybe that was another one.
I know
one.
I have that Boston accent, though, don't I?
Yeah. Yeah. You should hear my parents. Oh, my gosh. Or at least my mom. You probably don't know that. I'm from New England, so yeah. Yeah, my mom is very thick Boston accent. No R's in her vernacular. Yeah, in her vernacular. Is that the right word?
Carson. My name. How would she say
Sherry Lassiter. Oh my God, Kevin, do you have a psychic on the show? Sherry Lassiter? That's awesome. I saw her on that TV show Dead Files. No, there's no R's in this. This stinks. She drove a car all the way down there to see you guys?
That's exactly how she said.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Wait, we took the kids out in downtown Clayton and we were just out and about, and we were like, let's get some lunch. And we couldn't find a place. We found this little place. We walk in, and we sit down, and I look around, and there's a bar, and everyone's kind of bellied up to it, bent over. And I'm like, you know, it's 11 on a Saturday. And I said, I think this is a bar. My mom, no quiet voice whatsoever, goes, "What? This is a bar?" And she's looking and just yelling it out loud. "This is a bar? We took the kids out to a bar?" And I'm like, oh. So we got up and snuck out. We're like, let's get out of here now. So Bobby told me during the break that she had some questions for you. So, and then we'll get into.
Well, this will be sort of educational for everybody, because what I'll do is I'll just also kind of when I'm talking to somebody and I have like more time, I'll ask them their birthday. Mm-hmm. But first, Bobby, just tell me what sign you are. If you don't know, just tell me.
Pisces.
You're a Pisces.
You're talking to the microphone right
I'm
there.
I'm a Pisces.
Okay, and so a March or a February?
March.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what day?
The 16th.
Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm.
A dear friend of mine just passed like a few weeks ago, and he's an astrologer in Raleigh, and he's born March 16th.
Oh, really?
And he actually, I have a precious, wonderful stories about how he communicated to me after he left. So that is a very dear, dear birthday to me. Mm-hmm. So you're a very attuned person. So asking a person their birthday gives me some information, but when we're in a short little time slot here, then I'll just tune into you really quick and then just say, all right, guides, spirit guides, oh, Bobby's, what message do you have for her? And if this is audio, and so I've got four decks, and only one of the things in front of me, these decks of cards in front of me, only one of them are a tarot.
Mm-hmm.
One, and the rest of them are, this is an Egyptian oracle, and the other two, this is an Celtic oracle, and the other one is just words with, like, wallpaper pictures with words on them.
Mm-hmm.
So they all kind of give me different information. So then I'm just going to, like, ask, like, give me a message from Bobby that is important at this time. Okay. You're really, really psychic, really in tune, really aware, really conscious of like other things that are going on in the world besides what you can see. And you're interested in the mysteries, and you really want people to you want people to talk to people about it. You want to share with people about it, but there's this part of like you really want people to tell you, no, it's okay, Bobby. We believe you. We're not judging you. We understand you. We don't think you're weird. It's like until you're ready to say, this is what I see, think, feel, hear, then you're going to just stop yourself and sabotage yourself from sharing, because you're afraid that you're not going to get the support that you need, or that people are going to judge you and tell you that, you know, like, what's wrong with you? Like, that's really weird, and maybe that you're wrong. So your fear of judgment and your fear of other people's perceptions get in the way of you tapping into your own psychic ability. And so that's just one of the messages that I'm getting for you. It's not so much about your life right now, but it's just, you know, you can do this, but you're just afraid of what other people think. And so if one person supported you and one person said, go, Bobby, you can do this, then you would, like, be reading astrology charts. You would be, like, being the psychic with everybody. But it's really important to you that you don't get ostracized or alienated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is like kind of extending from that, saying that you're really working right now in your life on putting a closure to this feeling of people are going to look at you wrong about anything, not even just about psychic things, but they're going to judge you, they're going to criticize you, they're going to give you negative feedback. And then you get stuck in the negativity. It's like, I can't deal with any criticism. I can't deal with anybody judging me. I'd rather just keep my mouth shut. I'd rather not tell anybody who I'm voting for, you know, and the present cycle wobs around. You're really getting clear of your own fear of expressing your truth. So when we look into like past lives, and you look at how like that falls in, it deals with your life from the time you were born, being conditioned. You know, don't say weird things. Don't say things people don't understand or accept, or they're going to think you're weird and different, and you're going to be ostracized, and people won't accept you. So your desire and need to be accepted has been more important than you saying what you think and what you feel. And so where you are now in your life is, all right, well then, I don't really care what people think anymore. And I'm going to say, I don't agree. I'm going to say, this is what I see. I'm not going to be afraid to speak my truth and say what I think and feel. And if you have a problem with it, then that's your problem. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where you're starting to come from now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you're, and because of that, then you're able to be, all right, well, you're going to get a little bit like on the other side of it, like, I'm just going to say what I think and I don't care what you say. And you're going to be really expressive, and then you'll get to this point where, all right, it's not necessary for me to push my thoughts or beliefs on other people, but I'm also not going to hold it back and not say anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so then, do you have anything else that you want to say? And this is me asking your guides, the spirit guides around you. The main thing is that you don't feel safe. Unless you've got a support system around you, but even though that's true for everybody, your sensitivity is like, if I've gotten the support system around me, if my community, if I have a support system around me, then I'm safe and I'm open and I can express myself and I can share. But if I don't have that support system, then I'm not going to say anything because it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're building that support system and you're building the not a support system to say, hey, Bobby, what do you think about this or that, but you feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of not really feeling safe since you were a child, they're saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and you're really a committed person. So once you commit to an idea or a thought or you commit to a belief system, then you're like, I can't go against that. You know, I said I was a Catholic, and I can't, like, not be Catholic, you know? I have to be true to that. Well, mm-hmm. you don't have to be true to any belief system. You just have to be true to yourself. And that's where you are in your stage of evolution and growth.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, I'm going to be true to myself, and as long as I have a support system, my soul family around me, mm-hmm. then I can do anything and be anybody. And that's where I see you right now, which is a really good place.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely. Along those lines, I had a question, actually, because I was wondering about the sensitivity thing, because I do and have forever been tuned in a bit.
A lot.
And not really known how to how to handle that.
To tune out.
You know? Right, yeah. It can be disabling sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it causes almost an anxiety attack sometimes. I just can feel like crushed by it.
Well, the psyche, the Pisces person, as mm-hmm. well as other people, are so super sensitive that they're what's called empathic,
mm-hmm.
and then they take on people's emotions mm-hmm. and thoughts. And they don't know that there are other people's emotions and thoughts. They think mm-hmm. they're theirs. And so with all of these different people's emotions and thoughts and feelings coming in, it's like, oh, my God, where do I stop? And they start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's that line that I draw? And then you get overwhelmed, and then you just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So the trick, it's not even a trick. It's like where you are now is, all right, well, okay, for you. This is for you, and it's not for everybody, though I think it would possibly work for everybody, is to get up and every morning have this disciplined sense of calling in your protection. And I've tried many techniques. I put a bubble of light around me. I carry different gemstones. And I tell you, it's really, none of it really has a lasting effect.
Mm-hmm.
But what does is like getting every morning with an intention of, okay, I'm going to be clear, and I'm going to be open, And if something comes around that is not to my benefit, mm-hmm. Then I'm going to be alerted to it. Like a little red flag will go up. And then I'll operate with my boundaries. So that's the Pisces lesson.
Okay.
It's my lesson. And I'm a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Scorpio moon and Aquarius rising. So I got a mix. Mm-hmm. But still, it's like about boundaries. Being open enough to let information and feelings in. Have your heart open. But not being so open that it becomes debilitating.
Right.
And you can't function. And you're laying on the bed like trying to just quit having an anxiety attack.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world is in chaos. And it's hard not to feel it.
Right.
The only other choice you have is shut down. So what would you rather be? Feel a lot or be shut down? You'd rather feel a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's the truth. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's almost like electricity. You feel alive when you feel a lot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's not really, it's a double-edged sword. In order for me to be sensitive, open, and awake, I have to feel,
mm-hmm.
and I have to like be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then know when, and there are certain times when I'm, if I get too overwhelmed, I have to have no noise, no people,
mm-hmm.
no interactions,
mm-hmm.
quiet. I have to just still myself, and I have to do a lot of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
No, and that keeps my energies and my chakras clear so that I don't get stuck in it. But right. I think I think that you're on a very spiritual path and that you're supposed to tune more into that and mm-hmm. and let go of your fear around it.
Mm-hmm.
And then how it's going to come across for you is you're just talking to a friend over coffee and all of a sudden you get what I call downloaded. And instead of going, what are they going to think of me if I say that? You know, Martha, I really think this about your situation. Mm-hmm. This is what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't hold back. And then the more you do that, then the more comes, the stronger the muscle gets.
Okay.
Question?
It's a scary prospect, but it's also exciting. One question off that subject just a tad bit, and I find that like when I really want to concentrate, or you know, I feel a lot around me all the time, and I, you know, have had many discussions with many family members that are no longer with me, and or on this earth, I should say, and you know, it's never when I am intent on speaking with them. It always seems to be kind of like when they sort of pop in when I'm struggling. And I'm wondering how, you know, if they're just, I know it sounds odd, but are they always around watching and they see, no. you know, that you're struggling and they need to sort of just kind of get you to focus and say it's okay?
The emotions themselves have mm-hmm. this charge about it. The emotions have a draw.
Mm-hmm.
The emotions that you're having that are from your heart,
mm-hmm.
they love you. And so they're like, red alert, red alert, red alert.
Okay.
Now, Bobby, and they tune into you because you're of your the state of your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And if your emotions aren't real,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to get that signal.
Okay.
But if they're real, then they're going to be like, we love her. And so if she's putting emotions out, it's like a vibration.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pick up on it. And they're going to respond to her because we love her.
Okay.
So it's all really about love and with the loved ones on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so and then also when you're emotional, your shields are down.
Mm-hmm.
You're not like you're in totally in your heart. You're totally in your feeling center, and then you can feel it. Whereas a lot of times they're around you, but you can't feel it because you're like, okay, now I got to go to the post office.
Yeah. Hyper focused.
Yeah. So if you mm-hmm. just like let you seem to be at the end of a cycle of. I care what other people think,
mm-hmm.
and I'm scared of this. Like, it's not worth it. It's not worth being invested in that. I mm-hmm. don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just... But the key for you is as long as you have a support system.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you have these people that are sitting here in this room.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Tad over there.
Wait, I moved away. I'm trying to get away.
Is he asleep? I think he's sleeping.
It's a little
way.
It's just a little comic relief.
The only other question that I had...
I'm over here!
And it's off just a tad, and it's really about the commercialism and, you know, all the stuff that you see and you process that you watch all these reality shows and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't, it's not always good feelings that I feel. And it's like, I don't even know how to
you mean just generally coming in, there's not good feelings that you feel?
Right. Like, well, sometimes I like, you know, at one point in my, mid twenties, I felt exceptionally oppressed. Like, you know, I was constantly being at night, especially, just, there were three things that were just sort of, you know, over me and would sort of keep me where I was at. And, you know, the feeling that I associate with that, and on occasion, it's really dark, and that scares me. And I think about, like, you know, you hear, oh, well, if you do the spirit board, you're opening up the window to, or the door, you know, how do you sort of sort all that out and put away what's just crap, yeah, for a better, yeah, lack of a better word.
Early for you, mm-hmm, you get up and you just do a protection prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And you call in Christ, you call in Buddha, whatever it is, and you call, mm-hmm, in the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
And you just see it around you, and you feel it, and you feel light around, mm-hmm, you. And then you just set it, like you're setting a clock.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go throughout your day, but the forces that come around, like you're saying,
mm-hmm,
they're like, okay, if she wakes up and taps into this, she's going to be really powerful. And we can't have that. And because you have fear,
mm-hmm,
then it draws them to you. Your fear is like food. Mm-hmm. It's a food source. And your fear draws them to you. I'm like, oh, we can shut her down. Because, mm-hmm, if she's awake and she's open and she's empowered, she can really make a difference in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd rather keep her in the fearful place because she's a good food source for us. And we can feed off her fear.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Who's next?
Should I go? That's the question.
Oh my goodness, you okay?
Oh, well, I.
Should I go?
Hmm. You're just going right into it? Nope. Okay.
Well, this is really cool because you're like, this is, I'm coming into my authentic, true self. And of your self-expression. I think this has a lot to do with the radio show and the future you want it to go. Like, I want to bring ideas to the table, the round table. You're kind of like King Arthur here in the round table, bringing people in, different ideas. And it's like, and this is starting to take off, and this is really starting to go somewhere. And now I'm just getting bigger ideas and bigger ideas and bigger ideas. So it's just growing and growing and growing. And 2 to 4 years. So 2 to 4 years ago, you're like, okay, I'm getting restless, I'm getting bored. And I say 2 to 4 because I think it happened 4 years. You're starting to have a different thing about having a family, or I don't know how that worked, but 4 years, and then 2 years, that would be the oldest, your oldest child is 2 years old. So it seems like you were like, all right, now I've got a family. All right, what do I want next? All right, now what do I want to express myself. I want to grow, I want to expand. And I see this, like, Kevin, not like, you know, Donald Trump or anything, but I want to take over the world. I want to get heard, and I want to shake things up. I want to make a difference. And I'm not going to stop until I do. And the two of you, Malia and Kevin, you have a lot in common in that you like to shake things up. It feels good. And the more you shake things up and the more noise you make, the more you're effective, you know that you are. So you're, and I think that you've reached a lot of the goals you set for yourself. And now that you've reached those goals, it's like, oh, now what? Now what's next? What's next? Because I got to keep growing. I got to keep challenging myself. You've traveled a lot. I can feel that. And now it's like, well, I've traveled. Well, now I want to, like, explore new frontiers that are not out there in the 3D world. Like, I want to explore ideas. And I want to change people's minds and realities and beliefs. And I want to shake things up. And I'm not trying to prove anything. I just want people to expand their perceptions. And you're not trying to control anything. You just want people to grow and to be exposed to new thoughts and new ideas. And so it's just like, if you stay stuck in, like, being a physician or being a radio host, you're like, what else? I want to do something different. I want to do something different. I want to expand it, grow. So then it would be like pretty soon you would have like a YouTube video show, TV show. Then from there you would be wanting to grow it into something different. You're here to grow and expand and help other people to not change their minds. You're not attached to changing their minds. You're attached to providing different perspectives for people to make up their own minds. They call you a giver of light. And that means somebody that sheds light. To me, it sheds light on things, ideas, perceptions, beliefs, situations. You want to give, and you want to give other people, like somebody came in here and they're like, well, I don't believe any of this, and I can prove that, like, then have the floor. Say what you got to say. You really want to bring truth and exposure of different thoughts and ways of thinking out into the world in a big way. And I'll have to say that's a mission. And they're saying that you knew from early on in your childhood that you were going to, I'm going to say make a difference, but that's just the way it comes to me, that you were going to shake things up since you were a kid.
Yeah, I remember I grew up Catholic. And I had a Catholic priest come to my CCD class, and I was asking him questions. You mentioned that. And I remember just, I was saying, just asking the questions that I probably should have had when I was 16, 17, or 18. I was like, how do you know life goes on forever? Or how do you know this, that, and the other thing? And he kept giving me answers, and I was like, it just wasn't registering. And I remember that very early age, maybe 7, 8 years old. When did you have first communion? 6, 7?
Eight.
Okay, so it was around 6, 7. Probably 7 that I had that, and I've never shaken it.
Yeah, you question reality, and you don't have an attachment to what the end result is. It's just question reality, no matter what it is, just question it. Don't believe everything you see or hear. Question everything. And so you're always going to be this like open vessel for different ideas.
I don't fight with it because it doesn't bother me. It used to, and I guess when I was younger, I had a lot of conflict. And then I went into the military and I did whatever the military did. And I think the act of people trying to kill me kind of made things less important.
Yeah.
And now it's just, I don't think anything bothers me. The only thing that bothers me is when my children are upset. Beyond that, there's nothing that bothers me. Nothing can bother me. I don't think it's possible, but we'll see. Maybe I'm good.
Famous last words there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do you have a question?
Is
feel like you want to ask?
Yeah, let me think about that for a second. I guess my question would be, because it's hard to let go of what you were brought up as. It's hard to let go of what you...
the Catholic upbringing?
Yeah, maybe that or really anything. And then as you get older, you look back on it and you think of the, and you can, I guess, define it any way you want. But I guess my question would be, is there a right, is there a correct path? Is there a right path?
For you or for everybody?
That's hard. I guess
for each person.
I guess my question, I feel like I'm on the right path, and I feel like I'm not upsetting anyone. Maybe on the, how do you say it?
Hey, if you upset somebody, then you have shaken up their idea of what's real or what's true. And what is just some illusion.
Right.
So your job or your mission here, and you have chosen to accept it, is to get people to question their reality, to question what they know to be true. And it's not that you have an end result of this is what I want you to believe, what you're supposed to believe. The point is just question it. Don't believe everything you're told or everything you see. question everything.
Sure.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful gift to give. It's just like yeah, I don't have an agenda. I just don't think that we should just believe what the Catholic Church told us, what our school teachers told us, what the government tells us, because they lie about everything. No, question everything.
Right, right.
And that's kind of your message.
Yeah, and I guess it didn't make sense to me. It's by letting go, life has been... A car can tell you. 10 years ago, I was wound up like a really tight rubber band. And I would say before the kids were born, probably after I came back from Iraq, I had to work through some things. But after I worked through those things, I'm more at peace now than, I mean, life is just great. I mean, I don't see, even if something horrible came down the line, I understand that that's just the way it is. And you can't fight against it. There's no reason to fight against it because you can't prevent the tide from coming in. It's just the way it is.
So what was going with you 4 years ago? Because they showed me 4 years and they showed me 2 years. So what was significantly going on about, it's 2015, like?
4 years, I would have been right in the middle of PA school.
So you kind of changed. You went out. You mm-hmm. came out of the service,
mm-hmm.
and you went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a significant kind of life event.
Yeah,
life shift.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so that was a life shift 4 years ago, and then 2 years ago was a life shift because you have children.
Right, and we tried for a while. I mean, you have ups and downs with that, and I guess that might be the 2 years ago, more like three. I don't know if it's an exact science.
But 2 years ago, we have a 2-year-old, so 2 years ago.
Yeah. Like, 2.5. I don't know. Is it an exact science? Because I can go, I can say.
Your child is two. It's all two. That's an exact science.
Yeah, your thing's not plugged in, Cara, but go ahead, plug it in. Just click it in back there. She knows something I don't know.
Mama's plugging in the mic.
Yeah, she is. All right, go ahead.
Am I on?
Yeah.
But 4 years ago, we had 2 miscarriages. So that might be something that, because okay. we were trying to have kids. And so that was something that might have been...
okay. So like, the 4 years, again, then 2 years ago, you started to have
right.
children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for some reason, they showed me 4 years and 2 years. So without having to expose, but thank you for that feedback, because that's, for some reason, they were bringing that up as significant
yeah.
for you.
I wasn't going to mention that, but I'll let her mention
no, I'm
stuff.
Open with that. Okay. I'm open with that one.
Okay.
Yeah, so then 4 years ago, significant. 2 years ago, significant. And now it's like, okay, I did that. We got that. We got the family. And now it's like, now where to from here?
2 years ago, we came back from New York.
Mm-hmm.
We moved back up to be close to family, and it yeah. failed miserably.
Yeah.
That was a little stressful, but...
Where's family?
In Pennsylvania.
And New England, mm-hmm. so it's... We went up to New York right in between. Yeah, no.
But we were in New York, and we were 5 hours from each, almost yeah. 6 hours.
So you were here close
right.
to family.
Right, no. So we
no, we lived
here.
10 years down here. Then mm-hmm. we went up
okay.
for a year, and then came
and then
back
we came
down.
Back.
Yeah.
All right.
And that happened 2 years ago. We came back 2 years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was just saying this. They were significant life events, so this is...
Sure, it's when we bought the house and everything.
Yeah, and then it's the point is, sorry, 4 years ago, significant life events, 2 years ago. Because that means that now, at this point, other significant life events are taking place that are changing your direction or expanding you and opening you up in a different way. And that's to what we're, I think that's a lot to do with your radio show, which is a format for you to do what you do, which is to expose other people to thoughts and ideas and question beliefs and explore things.
Yeah.
So you're an adventurer and explorer and a pioneer.
That's why I love this show. Without it, I mean, I had an opportunity. Yeah, it would just be either I'd be watching TV, I'd be sleeping probably. But instead, I get everyone together and we have a good time. And
it's a great plan. It's wonderful.
And we bring folks like you in. And I would never have met you. And now I have the show. And that's how, kind of how things
work
out.
I drove all the way from Raleigh.
Yeah, that's right.
I drove.
That's right.
I drove.
And I'm hoping you drive back. That's so funny.
I would never have gotten here without you.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a great bunch of fun.
Absolutely. And folks can get in touch with you again, CHERIELASSITER.net.
Correct.
All right. So SherryLassiter.net. Do you have a Twitter or anything else like that?
I don't talk much on Twitter. I have a Twitter. I have a Facebook.
Okay.
I have a LinkedIn.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have that stuff too. I don't even really use it.
I don't either. You know, but if you Google me, I'm just all over the place.
Yeah,
I'm
just
really not as famous as it looks.
Website first.
Yeah.
Google your name. Your website comes up first.
Okay. So yeah, Google her name, CHERIELASSITER. And you're available for the type of thing you did for us here?
Oh, yes.
Any other things? Like someone has crazy things happen in their house, can they call you and have you come and check it out?
Actually, I do house clearings, energy clearings. I do the readings. I do some events, do some parties. They're not so much anymore. I'm ordained, and so I do hand fastings. I'll marry people.
All right.
So that's really interesting. But so that's... It was just like last week, like a few weeks ago, I married this couple, and I got a call from the guy, and his one new wife that I just married and cheated on him with the best man that was at the wedding.
Wow.
That's
awesome. This is another episode.
Yeah.
Another
episode. He's like, what do you think I should do? Oh, no, I was just there for the ceremony.
That's funny.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So those are the tasks, the things that I actually do right now.
Okay. There's my dog in the background with the emphysema. he's older than dirt.
Is there a cat around?
Can you
do you have a cat around?
There's a kitten that's been hanging out in the new development.
Your dog has an allergic reaction to cats.
Oh, so really?
Cats or has a negative response to cats.
Wait, you just got that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Winston.
Is Winston the neighbor cat?
No, that's him.
No,
he's been coughing like this for years. But yeah, we do it, and I open up the windows, he started coughing more.
Yeah.
He does have allergies. That's funny.
Yeah, just like something about a cat that's bothering him. And maybe that's just what he's trying to tell me now. Chloe, someone's get that cat away from me.
Yeah, maybe he smells them. He hates cats.
Yeah,
hates them.
Yeah.
Wait, he can talk to you?
Yes, I do animal communication.
No crap, really?
Yeah.
I don't know, why did I just edit myself there? I have the beep button.
Yeah, so it's just like the dog is having a reaction to the cat because the cat makes the dog anxious.
Yeah.
And it increases the emphysema.
That's funny.
It's there, but it's increased and amplified by the presence of the cat that makes him or her, is it her?
It's
or
a him.
Get rid of the cat.
Nervous.
Is he usually this bad, Winona's aren't open?
No, he doesn't cough this much.
No.
He'll cough in the morning and then...
And
that's
just
pretty much it.
Close the window, it's the cat.
Wow.
Wow! Everything's outside the window. The window. I absolutely believe it's a cat.
He knows what I've been saying for years.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. It was a fantastic time. Now I'm going to let Kimmy Pop talk for me. Kimmy Pops, whatever. We talked about Fiverr.com. I'm not giving them any free plugs, but here you go.
Like us on Facebook.com/WWI Podcast and at WWI Podcast on Twitter. Drop us a line at waitswhatifpodcast@yahoo.com. Listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or TuneIn Internet Radio.
hope you enjoyed your listening experience. Now go forth and expand your reality.